exciting time have Brother Rima Duncan. We've had him on more than a few occasions already in the past, and every time he brings the Word of God, and God does something very special. Amen. I can say without exception, God does something very special.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. And again, I have full confidence that God will do something very special again. Amen. So take your Super Sunday card, invite your neighbor, your friend, family, whoever it is that you'd like to come or have them come. Little insight. We're cooking easy. I say easy because it's going to be a crock pot with a full of hot dogs on the side. And so when church is done, we'll be giving out a few of the door prizes, some bicycles, some gift cards. And the big thing is we're going to give away a brand new iPad on Sunday. That is for our guests. So if you're hoping to win big on Sunday and you're a church member, it's not going to happen. Brother Dyke has instructions that if he recognizes your name on the gift list on Sunday, our church members' names will be removed and not drawn on purpose. We're wanting our guests that come to have opportunity to be recognized, receive a gift, and have a good time, and just be a blessing to those that come for the first time. Or, again, come as a guest to celebrate with us on Super Sunday. Those are the people that will be drawn their names from. Amen. But don't be sad, because if you wanted to win the big prize, you can earn it. Amen. Bring people to the Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday revival services. And I looked at the weather report for next week. No rain the whole time. So, according to the advanced forecast. They've been wrong before, but Lord willing, we won't have a... If it is inclement weather, guess what? We just come inside the sanctuary. So there's a backup plan. Amen. Do plan to participate, and I know God is going to do something very special. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Today, we're set with Pastor's Lunch, right? Pastor's Lunch is today. If you're not familiar with who I am and the past and how this church came to be, come on to Pastor's Lunch. I'd love to tell you about it. Amen. If you're a guest, well, then certainly I want you to come to Pastor's Lunch. Especially, I want to invite you to come to Pastor's Lunch. I'd like to share with you more about our church. Amen. Scripture, Philippians chapter 1 is where I'd like to point your attention. I'm going to begin reading at verse 12. I've got a couple different places I'm going to read from. I know you've been standing for quite a while, but let me just read my scripture and I'll let you be seated. Philippians chapter 1, beginning at verse number 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ's. And from Philippians chapter 3, verse number 8. Yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Philippians chapter 4, verses 11 through 13. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned, in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to abase, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Verse 13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Praise the Lord. Here's my topic today. I believe that it is applicable to every one of our lives. Amen. Controlling our responses. Did you say that with me? Controlling our responses. Let's pray. Lord, I love you. I thank you, Jesus. I ask even now that in the precious name of Jesus, Lord, as we look at your word, as we consider these things, I pray that your anointing would be upon us. Lord, quicken my mind, my words, the words that I would say, God, quicken our hearing to hear. And Lord, I pray that you would touch our hearts. I pray that your will, Jesus, would be accomplished here in this place today. Lord, let your will be done, I pray, and thank you, Lord, for it. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Controlling our responses. What a great idea that is. Anybody wish that you could control your response? Anybody ever had the problem of something happens and something dumb comes out of your mouth before you even put your... It could be a problem when you put your mouth in motion before you got your gears thinking about what you should say. You could get yourself in more trouble than what would be advisable by not controlling your response. Amen. It happens. It's happened to me. It might have happened to you, but controlling our response is our topic. Amen. I know many preachers, teachers, and leaders that would say that their most productive times is at a pulpit, at a speaking engagement, when they've got the whole crowd in their hand, per se. But that is not necessarily true. We would have been deprived of many beautiful passages if Paul had not gone to prison. If he not had time to be placed where he was by the hand of God to write what he did and give to the people, to give to us today the word that God gave him. Amen. It was a very productive time. Amen. What if John had not been exiled to the Isle of Patmos, would we even have the book of Revelation? Tradition says that Paul converted the guard that was chained to him while he was in prison. Acts chapter 28, verses 30 and 31. And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house and received all that came in unto him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him. See, Paul was a prisoner. He was arrested. He was incarcerated, if you will. Home confinement is not a new thing. He was a prisoner in his own rented house in Rome. They tried to contain him. They tried to put him in a place where he could not have his wide-reaching influence. And that... It's even said that among the Roman converts, there were those of Caesar's house. Amen. Even the Romans were being converted by Paul. Amen. Everyone that came to his house expected to hear something about Jesus. Amen. I hope when people come to your house, they expect or they want to hear something about Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. Philippians chapter 2, verse 22. All the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. There were people that continued living for God that were converted by a prisoner. What an awesome thing. You know what? What the world often means for evil, God can mean it for good. Amen. Just because it's inconvenient does not necessarily mean it's bad. God can use anything. Praise the Lord. You see, Paul was not free to witness out in the streets. He wasn't able to have tent meetings. He was restricted during these times. But he could preach the gospel to everyone that he came in contact with. He could preach the gospel to those that came to his house. He could preach to the guards that were stationed there to guard him. Praise the Lord. Acts chapter 20. Verse number 22. Let me read 22, 23, 24. Acts chapter 20. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there. Verse 23. Save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saving the bonds and affliction abide me. But none of these things move me. He wasn't worried about going to jail. He wasn't worried about being put in prison. He goes on to say, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Although Paul knew that he would be imprisoned and suffer the afflictions in Jerusalem, he had a very good insight of what was going to happen. He kind of knew ahead of time that going to Jerusalem is going to be hard. He still felt compelled to go to Jerusalem. He felt compelled to go to that city. Even those around him, his friends, his ministry friends, his other believers, they were his friends, tried to persuade him not to go. But finally, they stopped their efforts and stopped their admonitions. They stopped their efforts to try to stop him and conceded, "The will of the Lord be done." You can see Acts chapter 21 down to verse 14 for those details. It's a moot question whether or not it was God's divine will for Paul to go to Jerusalem and be imprisoned and appear to Caesar in Rome and to die a prisoner. That question is not important. He wasn't even worried about the answer to that question. What is important is that Paul's response and what happened to him. Our response is important. Amen. We cannot control all of the things around us. I know that, you know, we've been going through the end time ministries and we've been looking at what the Bible says is going to come to pass. And, you know, our world is just going to go crazy. In fact, our world is going crazy right now. There's going to be awful things that take place on earth. I can't stop all that. I'm not trying to stop all that. But I do know my God is in control. Amen. I know that. I have confidence in that. I know that my God is able to keep me. Amen. We can't control all that. But we can control our response to what happens. The proper response to the uncontrollable circumstances that life puts upon us. When we consider only our lack of control over what happens to us, we may get confused. We may wonder about the will of God. And it can even seem, it could seem like God is not in control. I tell you, you can put that thought out of your mind. Because even though it looks like our world is going crazy and things have gone completely out of control, God is still in control. My God is still on the throne. Amen. My God is still going to bring to pass His perfect will. Amen. When we consider that God is working all things, now the Word of God says this, when we consider that God is working all things, somebody say all. I want to try to stress that word. God is working that all things to our good, for the good of the church, then we can focus on God's will during those troubled times. Amen. No matter what happens in the world, you could have a striking headline news breaking event take place in the world today. I don't know what it is. I'm not prophesying anything. But I do know terrible things are going to happen. And I do know, even when the terrible things happen, even when the news headlines looks like everything is out of control, God is still in control. Our response needs to be to believe God. still believe God. Amen. Acts chapter 21, verse number 13. Then Paul answered, "What mean ye to weep and to break mine heart? For I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus." Then you hear his response about the, oh, people are saying, you're going to have trouble in Jerusalem. If you go to Jerusalem, bad things are going to happen. His response was, not only am I ready to go to jail, I've been in jail before. You know, they've arrested me before. I'm ready also to die for Jesus Christ. His response was, I want to do God's will anyway. Wow. That is spectacular. Amen. That is what God is looking for. Someone who will do God's will no matter what the breaking news headline says. Someone who will do God's will no matter if you have a hardship in your life. Someone who will do God's will even when something bad happens. Do you believe God is a healer when you're laying in a hospital bed? I do. Amen. I believe God is a healer. Amen. I believe God is a deliverer. I believe God is a way maker. He is. Even when difficulties come. Even when things don't go my way. What will be your response? You see, what he wrote to others lives on in the hearts of the lives of people today. Amen. The Word of God is speaking to us. Praise the Lord. You see, the letters that he wrote from prison, when he was incarcerated, when they were trying to control his influence on his generation, when they were trying to lock him up and keep him contained, he wrote letters from prison. Philemon, it's all about forgiveness. The theme of the book is forgiveness. Paul wrote to encourage Philemon to forgive his runaway slave, Onesimus, whom Paul had converted to Jesus Christ in Rome. The theme of the entirety of the book is forgiveness and restoration. The book of Ephesians, it's kind of a circular letter, if you will, an open letter. It applies to many of the churches. It implies to us today. The central theme of Ephesians is position. The believer's position. The Gentile's position. Afar off, but now near. Thanks to the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. God could bring us right. People might think, well, I'm not a Jew, or I'm not a Christian, or I don't know about that. You know what? God can save anyone. Amen. The book of Ephesians about position, the position of the Jews and the Gentiles in the church. Fellow heirs in the body of Christ. You know, the Jews weren't supposed to hang out with the Gentiles, and the Gentiles didn't want to hang out with the Jews, but God changed everything. The church is to be a body of Christ, of believers. Amen. The book of Ephesians talks about the position of Christ and the church. It is so precious. It is so special. It talks about, it compares the relationship of Christ and the church as to the relationship of that of a husband and his wife. You know, I can relate to that. It comes right on home down to the very center of who I am. Amen. You know, my wife, as you know, is a wonderful lady. I love her dearly. And I relate Jesus Christ as adoring the church, loving the church, to the point that He gave Himself for her, for the church, that we might be saved. Amen. What an awesome thing. The book of Ephesians talks about the domestic position as well. The conduct of children, the conduct of parents, the conduct of servants and masters. Amen. What a great book. Colossians talks about the deity of Christ. Amen. What a great thing to understand who Jesus is. Amen. To understand that He is the great God. That there is no other God but Jesus. Amen. He is the Almighty God. The book of Colossians contains very strong refuting of heresy. It puts down that legal system that distracted from the position of Jesus Christ. Amen. Philippians. The purpose of this was to thank them for the contributions that they had generously sent him on more than one occasion. He mentioned that they were the only church who had ever done this. Praise the Lord. We can learn much from Philippians. Amen. I thank God that our church is a giving church. Amen. We're blessed when we give. Amen. Praise the Lord. In fact, I'll even go further than that. I'll say that our church is blessed because we give. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Key word in Philippians is joy. 18 times it talks about joy. Rejoicing in the spirit of suffering. Rejoicing in lowly service. Rejoicing in the knowledge of Christ. Rejoicing, get this, over anxiety. Woo! Well, what am I going to do about, you name it. What am I going to do about my car? What am I going to do about my kids? What am I going to do about my job? You know, there could be a whole bunch of things you could have anxiety over. But if you could rejoice in Jesus Christ, even over that anxiety, amen, God will bless you. Praise the Lord. Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 and 8. It says, but what things were gained to me, though I counted loss for Christ? Verse 8, yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and to count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Rejoicing over anxiety. Rejoicing in the Lord always. I rejoice in the Lord greatly. For I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I've heard people say, well, I just can't do it. You know what? In Jesus Christ, I can do all things because He strengthens me. My God, get this now, shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You know, Paul had a very special spirit, a very special attitude. Philippians chapter 1, verse 12. It says, but I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. You mean going to jail? Yep. Going to jail multiple times? Being arrested over and over again? Yep. It was for the furtherance of the gospel. You know, you could get your spirit bent out of shape. You could have a bad, everybody's got an attitude. It could be a good one or it could be a bad one. But everybody's got an attitude. I hope it's a good one. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Stuff happens in life. Stuff happens that we don't like. Things come upon us that sometimes it's not our fault. Sometimes it is. But it doesn't matter. Because our spirit, having a right spirit and a right attitude, and our response to whatever comes up in life is a key to our spiritual walk with God. Amen. We can live for God in every circumstance. God can bring us out. He can deliver us. He can make the way where there seems to be no way. God can deliver us from anything. If there was a Nobel Prize for suffering, Paul would have got that prize. He would have been right there up at the top of the candidates to win the Nobel Prize for suffering. Yet, Paul did not carry a bad spirit. He didn't, you know, that old spirit of, oh, woe is me, things are so bad. You know what? You can have a spirit that my God is still good when things are bad. You could have the right attitude and think God is going to make things better. God is going to deliver me. You wait and see. My God is going to see me through. When I come out at the other end, God is going to get the glory. You can have a right spirit. You can have a good attitude. Praise the Lord. Paul didn't carry that attitude or the spirit of, oh, I'm going to be a martyr and woe is me. No. You know, we have all had many hurtful and unpleasant things happen in life. Anybody had something bad happen in your life? I think if you don't raise your hand, you're lying. Or you just didn't want to raise your hand. But everybody has something bad that's happened in your life. I don't know that there's anybody that has ever lived. Jesus had bad things happen to him. I think everybody has bad things happen to them. Everybody needs to have a proper response. Amen. We've all had hurtful, unpleasant things happen to us. No one is exempt. The daily grind itself is hard. But who among us can compare our suffering with that of Paul? With that of what's recorded in Scripture? You know what? My life ain't so bad after all. I got it pretty good. Amen. Job, man. Jesus. But you can have a right spirit. You can have a good attitude. You can have a proper response to the bad things that happen in our world. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning there at verse 23. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths often. You know, I don't want to be in this competition. I don't want to be a contender in this race. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. Verse 26, in journeyings often. Get this. In perils of water. In perils of robbers. In perils of my own countrymen. In perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. Man, things look... You don't want to be in that contest. Things don't look so bad in your life after all, do they? Things aren't that bad. Got my finger on a place in my notes. Man, there was all kinds of stuff bad. And then he starts talking about stress. Verse 27. In wearinesses, painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger, in thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Man, he had all this piled on top of him. But he was able to control his response. Amen. No matter what, no, I know there is stressful times in our life. I know that there are hurtful things that happen. I know that there are things that are beyond our control. Maybe it's in your home, your finances, your family. Maybe it's in your job, or maybe it's in your kids or your marriage, or maybe it's in other family. You name the whole gamut of lists of things that where troubles could reside, and they come from all directions. But my God is able to see me through all, someone say all these things. My God is able to keep me through it all. It is one thing to suffer, but it's another thing to suffer and accept it without murmuring and complaining or becoming embittered. Paul's attitude regarding things which happened to him came because of his unwavering faith in God. Bad things happen. My God's going to help me. We're going to arrest you and throw you in jail. My God is in control. Don't sweat the small stuff. You might think, well, getting arrested and thrown in jail is pretty big, Pastor. Paul didn't think so. My God is going to take care of me. My God is going to help me. My God is going to see me through. Amen. He would speak with complete confidence. My God is going to see me through. Anybody believe that? You believe that my God is going to see me through? Even when you got a problem? Even when you got a hardship? Even when you don't have the answer to the problem that's in your face right now? Do you still think my God is in control? Amen. My God is in control. You don't have to have the answer to every problem. It's not up to you to control all things. It's not up to you to have the answer to all of life's problems at one time. My God is in control. He had unwavering faith. You see, it would have been normal for almost anybody, including Paul, for him to perhaps have become bitter. Maybe he could have been resentful. But he said that the things which happened to him happened for the furtherance of the gospel. You know what? When you've gone through a low place in your life, when God brings you out, you'll be able to talk to someone else that is at a low place in their life. You know, when I was down and out, my God helped me get up. My God delivered me from the pit. My God helped me come out of the mully drubs, if that is even a word. My God delivered me. Amen. Now the world is going to try to convince you otherwise. The world is going to try to convince you that you need to do this and that and the other thing. No, what I need to do is I need to believe God. I need to stay faithful to God. Amen. See, Paul illustrated a steadfastness. Not wavering. Now, I don't wonder if my God is in control. I know my God is in control. Amen. There's a difference. Oh, I wonder if God will help me. I know my God will help me. Amen. There is a difference. Amen. He illustrated that steadfastness. His problems, his afflictions did not cause him to be dismayed. If you are depending on your strength, you're going to have a real problem. Because it doesn't matter how strong you are. The adversary, the devil, can take you down. But my God is a deliverer. He's greater. My God is greater. Amen. Someone said the reason for his being unmoved by the things was that He knew how to count. Neither count I my life dear unto myself. The world is not about me, me, me. Our life is about him, him, him. Praise the Lord. Paul arranged his priorities so that when persecution arose, he was not shaken. He knew that the most important thing in his life was Jesus Christ and keeping that commitment to him. Amen. Meekness is defined by some as weakness. Meekness is not weakness. Meekness is the ability to respond properly to adverse things which happen that are beyond that person's control. Things are going to happen to you that you didn't have control of. It is to accept the unpleasant things that happen without feeling badly at God. Don't blame God because you had an accident, because your body got sick. Don't blame God for adverse conditions in our world. And don't blame anybody else. My God is going to help me. He's going to see me through. Paul's attitude was, if my sufferings help to advance the work of the Lord, then I am willing to suffer. Whatever it takes. Philippians chapter 4, verses 11 to 13. Now that I speak in response to want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Everything did not measure up to Paul's expectations. Yet he was contented. He had submitted his expectations to the Lord. Lord, you've got this in control. I don't know how this is going to turn out, but I know that it's going to turn out okay. Paul has made up his mind that his needs and sufferings may be that they were not going to control his responses. Amen. You can have a good attitude. You can have the proper response. Acts chapter 16, Paul and Silas were in prison praying. They were singing praises unto the Lord. And during the night, while their feet were shackled to the stocks and their bleeding backs were against the wall, God delivered them. God can do above, beyond what you ever thought would happen. Amen. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. In fact, musicians, come on up. I'm getting ready to close right here. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Stand with me. I'm closing here. And we know that all things. In fact, why don't you read this out loud with me? Look, it's on the screen. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. I want to raise my hand to that verse. Lord, I believe that You are in control of everything in my life. I believe, Lord, that You have all things in control. All right, well, what is all things? God in control of your car? Yep. God in control of your kids? Yep. God in control of your job? Is God in control of your salvation? My God is in control. Not just a few things, not just here and there things. I'm talking about everything in the entirety of my life is in control by God. Amen. Would you thank Him? Can you lift your hands and would you magnify God? Would you thank God that God is in control? God is doing in your life. God is weaving a tapestry in your life of those experiences that you've had. The good things, the bad things. The exciting things, the scary things. The up and the down, the in and the out. God is weaving His will, His purpose, His glory into your life. You are going to have a testimony. You are going to have this beautiful tapestry of what God has brought me through. My God has healed my body. My God has saved my soul. I have spoken tongues. I was baptized in Jesus' name. God helped my kids. God helped my wife. God blessed my family. God gave me a church. God did wonderful things. I've seen miracles. I've seen wonderful things at the hand of God. My God is in control. Even through the hard time, even through the bad time, even through the down time, my God is still in control right now. Would you thank Him? Join me. Come, I'm going to open up the altar. We're going to have pastor's lunch in just a few moments. But before we do, why don't we take time to thank God? Will you join me at the altar? Would you come and praise and worship and magnify the Lord with me? Come.